Well, here we are. Welcome to After Sunday. What do you think?
We're here.
This is a podcast at Calvary Baptist Church, and this is our first episode. Yeah. And who knows where this thing is ever going to go, but we'll try it, see what happens. I'm Pastor John, senior pastor here at Calvary Baptist Church, and joining me is Pastor Andrew, who's our student ministries. And really the idea behind this, Andrew, is we're just going to get a little bit deeper into the Sunday message. Hopefully as we, you and I explore the message a little further, that'll help other people as well as they listen to the podcast. One thing that we probably need to explain to people is you're not always in the sanctuary.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm preaching the message.
Yeah, sometimes I'm playing catch up.
And probably people think that because you're the youth pastor here, you're just down in the gym playing around during the message.
Yeah, and they're right. Yeah.
But that's not really the case. Let's not give them the wrong impression here. But maybe you want to explain to them exactly what you're doing when you're not in there, because people may be wondering that. Good opportunity to kind of let them know.
Yeah, absolutely. So, obviously, during Sunday school, we have the teen class that meets. We have our own space back there, and that's all of Sunday school. So, you're also not seeing me in the Sunday school classes, right? In the next hour, I'm on a rotation with another fellow in the church, and we're doing our junior church, which is when they start to age out of our little kids area, and it's time for them to get, a little bit more mature content that matches them at their age, meets them where they are. And so sometimes I get to be in service from there. I'm either doing that or working the check-in desk, so we can make sure we know everyone who's back in the youth ministry area, and no one that, doesn't need to be back there ends up there. So I'm either teaching or working the check-in desk, but every now and then I get to join everybody for the service.
Yeah. Especially on the Sundays we have you preaching.
Exactly, right? Yeah. I really got to make sure I'm there for those ones. But I always get caught up on the YouTube channel, because everything gets posted there, very promptly.
Yep.
So, as soon as service ends, it's up, which is useful for me because we have small groups on Sunday right after church at 4.
You got to get prepared for that too.
So I'm usually going home, turning on the service on YouTube, and getting caught up.
Yeah. Yeah. So this past Sunday, the message, of course, we're going through a series. Most everybody knows that I like to preach expositorily, so I'm always working through a book of the Bible. And we've been in the Gospel of John for what seems like eternity now. But I have really enjoyed it. I've learned so much. One of the things I think I've learned the most about this journey through John is how much John really pushes you see God in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is God.
Yeah.
And if you really want to know God, then just look to Jesus Christ, because that's him. That's who it is. And I think him coming in the flesh really brought it down to our level, to a point that we could personally understand and know what we want to know about God, because God is such a infinite being.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Too many times in today's world and society, people want to put God way out there somewhere and kind of like he's just playing the puppeteer.
Right.
And he's not. He loves us, and he's very personal in his relationships with us. So, Jesus Christ really brings that home to us when we're studying the book of John. Yeah. We just started a new series. I have called it Homebound, and it's talking about how that we are in a world of chaos, and we have this journey that we're on through the world of chaos.
Yeah, for sure.
But Christ is the one that brings the calmness, the peace, the past message was no map needed.
Yeah.
Right. And the emphasis really was on, you don't need the map of religion. You don't need the map of relationships, which are all man-made things.
Yeah.
and they don't get us anywhere. Mm-hmm. They just cause more chaos, more confusion. And yet there is a map. And by the way, the map is not a map, it's a person.
Yeah.
And we really emphasize that in the message. And obviously, John chapter 14, verse 1, he starts right out, "Let not your heart be troubled." Right? Yeah. "You believe in God, believe in me also."
Beautiful verse.
A beautiful verse. And then right in the middle of that's verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So that was the message this past Sunday. Of course, there's a lot more to that message than just what I just said.
Right. Hopefully.
Yeah. So, you know, the big idea of the message was, you know, instead of searching for this step-by-step guide in all of our areas of life, Jesus is really calling us to trust him in the middle of the chaos as we encounter it in life. And I think one of the important parts of that is Jesus never said that he knows the way, even though he does.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Jesus also said, he did not say, "I will show you the way," even though he can.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
His statement to, in reaction to Thomas, "How can we know the way?" He said, "I am the way."
Yeah.
You know, and so the whole idea behind the message is, if you've ever been looking for a map to the chaos of your life, then that conversation that he had with the disciples, the conversation that we're having today, is going to change how you look at mm-hmm. all this.
Yeah.
And how you look for that particular map.
Yeah.
So, you know, you listen to the message.
Right.
Right. What stuck out to you? You know, what was your first impression as your, not your first, but maybe some of your impressions?
Right. Honestly, a few things, and some of it has been kind of an unfolding thing that has stuck with me.
Right.
I've been able to have conversations with people in the church, even from small group on Sunday, and then having conversations with my wife and talking about other people that we know that are going through hard times.
Yeah.
It was crazy how I kept finding myself, "Send them this message. Send them this message. Send them this message."
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I enjoyed the message. I mean, I loved it. I thought it was awesome. I loved the points that were hit. And obviously, like, you know, just a few key verses is always nice to hear. "Let sure. not your heart be troubled. You know, I'm the way, the truth, and the life." That's always just good verses to hear and be reminded of. But like, right now, things are kind of, you know, calm, but I see the people that are in the storm right now, mm-hmm. and I'm like, man, like, they need this so bad.
Yeah.
Like, send this to people. So, almost something that's been an unfolding thing that has stuck with me is just how relevant this is
mm-hmm.
for so many people,
mm-hmm.
because we are searching for a step-by-step guide.
Right, right.
Yeah. That's what our flesh wants.
Yeah, exactly.
And because that's what our flesh wants, that's what the world is trying to offer.
Yeah.
Right? God says, Jesus is saying, "I am the way." The world is saying, "Well, yeah, that's great. Here, we'll give you step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you'll definitely get where you're trying to go
right.
by the end, right? That's what our flesh is seeking after. And that's what the world is trying to throw in our face. But it never gets you where you're actually right. trying to go.
Exactly.
It can get you to some kind of empty kind of solution that's not really a solution. But maybe you can trick yourself into thinking it is, into being satisfied with where you're ending up with it, when what God offers is just, it's nothing like that at all.
Sure.
It's the complete opposite. It's not just the step-by-step guide. He's offering the ultimate solution to everything
right.
at all times, yeah. at any point of life, that's applicable to any situation, right?
Right.
You know, the world has to come up with a new 5 steps for everything you're going through, yeah. right?
And it seems like it's always the same 5 steps.
Yeah, right.
Right? They just reinvent the wheel, so yeah. to speak. You know?
They tweak the wording yeah, a little bit. Exactly. Ah, it's brand new, yeah. right? And well, Jesus is saying, "I am always what you need."
Mm.
You know, "I am the way. I am the answer. Your heart doesn't have to be troubled, because I'm here,
yeah.
and I'm always here, and I'm never going to go anywhere."
Yeah.
So it's been crazy as I've been talking to other people in the church that heard the message, as well as just my
That's
wife.
That's always scary when you start talking to other people. What do you remember about that message?
I'll tell you what, everyone I've spoken to, it's been, oh man, that was for me.
Right.
Like, that was for me. And it's people that are going through things, that are struggling with things.
For sure.
And what a comfort to hear, let not your heart be troubled, from the one that we know has never made an empty promise.
Yeah.
Right? He's never made a promise that he didn't keep.
That's right.
That he didn't fulfill in the most perfect way that could ever be possible.
Yeah.
And to hear, let not your heart be troubled from that person, I think that has really meant a lot.
Yeah.
To a lot of people. And even for the people that maybe it doesn't seem as big a deal right now.
Right.
You know, it's coming. Yeah, exactly. The time when we need to hear, let not your heart be troubled, is coming. Yeah, yeah. You might not be in it right now, but it's coming.
It's always around the corner.
Yeah.
You know, life just has a way of just throwing these curveballs, right?
Yeah.
And you get into these circumstances and these situations, and the emotions are real. Right.
Absolutely.
The fear, the trouble. In fact, that word, let not your heart be troubled. That word troubled literally means an agitation. Right. It's a stirring up. In fact, as I was studying this morning, preparing for the message in 2 weeks, he says it again later in this passage. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, he adds a caveat to that one. We'll get to that in a few weeks. But as I studied that word trouble, I realized that that's a word that was used mainly in the Gospel of John. And even Christ expressed that his heart was troubled on a couple occasions. One was standing in the tomb of Lazarus.
Yeah.
You know, and so the emotions of what happens in life, you know, there when Jesus was troubled, he's grieving over someone that he loved and has, you know, now for him, this is one of those, you know, ironic things. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, who knows that, you know, Lazarus is going to live eternally.
Yeah.
But even in that moment for him, the emotions were raw and the emotions were real.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think those emotions were there for him to identify or for us to be able to identify with him.
Yeah.
But the Bible is very specific, and it's the Holy Spirit writing the words.
That's right.
He was troubled.
He was troubled. Yeah.
Right. And I think we forget that sometimes.
Yeah.
But the one who is troubled is also the source of overcoming the trouble.
Yeah.
And I think that's where John 14 really comes in.
Yeah.
You know, let not your heart be troubled.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right. Because what a comfort it is to hear, I'm not failing,
right?
Just because I'm troubled,
yes,
in the chaos,
yes.
That's it's okay,
and that's where we go, right? Yeah. We think we failed,
exactly.
You know, we set the standard for ourselves, right?
Yeah.
You know, another illustration I brought in into the message was that word troubled reminded me of being in the middle of a storm, right, on the ocean or out on a lake or whatever. And I always go back to Christ being with the disciples in the middle of a storm in a boat. You know, one time he was sleeping, the other time they're like, do you not care? You know, and he gets up, he rebukes the storm, and then he says, oh, ye of little faith.
Yeah.
Well, we take that and we say, oh, we're a failure.
Right.
Right. That's how we view it. Yeah. And that's not how he was viewing it. He's just saying, hey, listen, you could have just believed in me.
Right. Yeah. I'm still the solution.
Right. You know, I mean, no different than let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me.
Yeah.
You see, and so I think that's a great point that you're making, because too many times we just look at ourselves and say, well, we're just complete failures. Yeah. And we're not.
No.
I mean, especially for us who have put our faith and trust in Christ, you know, we're part of his family. He considers us his child. And you know, both of us as fathers know how much we love our children, and we're always going to try to be there for them. He is always there for us.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that was something that just, like I said, that was something that kind of was unfolding that kind of stuck with me. But another thing was something that you said in the service, and you said, And it was, well, it was such a side note, but it stuck with me. And he says, like, when I get it all together,
yeah,
then God will work.
Right, right.
Right. When I have it all figured out,
yep, yep.
When I've got all my ducks in a row, mm-hmm. and everything is, you know, everything is perfect again,
yeah.
then God will get to work.
Yeah.
And that, you know, you're never going to get there.
No, no. And there's all, because there's always going to be something else.
Exactly.
Right. And another excuse that we use,
mm-hmm.
one, I'm a failure. Two, I'll just wait till I get it all together.
Exactly.
And you're never going to get it together.
And that's what it is. It's an excuse, because that's not God's expectation
yeah.
of us.
Yeah. Right.
God is capable of doing a perfect work through our imperfect efforts.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
And he'll do that right now. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says, you know, when you've got your life yeah. all straightened out and everything's figured yeah. out and you're on track, all right, then I'll do something about it.
How many people in the Bible were exactly that way?
Oh, yeah.
They were the most imperfect people.
Yeah.
But God used them in the most perfect way.
Yeah, I mean, you immediately go to Moses,
yeah.
right?
It's yeah.
just like, oh, I don't talk good. God, find someone else. And then next we see
him in the
Red Sea, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, God didn't wait for Moses to get it all together. Mm-hmm. And Moses had made some serious mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, and I jumped to David, who made some serious mistakes.
Yeah.
And he kept getting right with God. And then he made another mistake. Get right with God, yeah, right?
Exactly.
David never had it all figured out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just had all his ducks in a row.
I think you could go even deeper just to Samson.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, absolutely. here's a guy who never did figure it out.
Right.
And a guy who on multiple occasions failed.
Yeah.
And yet, God used him.
A man who ended up in the Hall of Faith.
Yeah.
Hebrews yeah. 11.
Exactly.
I mean, alongside, you know, it almost catches you off guard as you're reading it. You're, oh, yeah, this person. Oh, Samson.
But, you know, one of the things I just thought of is that we want to blame those excuses on the devil.
Right, yeah.
Right, oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know, the devil feeds me those lies.
Yeah.
I know the devil does a lot of bad stuff, okay? I
mean, yeah,
right. The Bible's full of it, right? But he's not, I don't think he's always sitting right there in your ear feeding you information,
no.
right?
No.
I think we allow our own heart
yeah.
to feed us information.
Yeah.
And the Bible is very clear that our heart is wicked, it's evil. You know, Christ himself, how many times did he say, out of the heart, the mouth speaketh?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And he went on to even say some of the things that comes out
right.
of the heart and out of yeah. the mouth. And so I think for us, a lot of times we let those lies sit in our heart. And then when we're challenged in circumstances, we let those things just surface.
Yeah.
And that's where the fear comes from. And that's where the anxiety comes from. And, you know, the whole reason Christ said, let not your heart be troubled is, hey, listen, you need to just let go of that chaos, those emotions, those feelings, and trust me.
Yeah.
They're going to be real. It's going to happen, right? But trust me. I think for me, as I was getting ready for this message, is the context of Thomas and Philip in this whole scenario.
Yeah.
And Thomas, you know, I have read John 1 or 14, 1 through 14 many, many times. I've even preached it. In fact, it's one of my favorite texts to use when preaching at a funeral. Especially if it's a believer's funeral, because you know all those promises are there, right?
Yeah.
Where you know he's going to prepare a mansion for us. You know where I am, there he's going to receive us there also. You know I'm coming again. I'm going to receive you unto myself. All that's there, right?
Yeah.
But Thomas has always been one of those. I'm like, what is the question, Thomas?
Right.
I don't understand your question.
Yeah.
It always confused me.
Yeah.
Until I started really studying for this message, and then. What I realized is that Thomas is really voicing what we're all thinking.
Right. For the benefit of everyone, should we read?
Yeah, yeah, let's do that. In fact, you got it right there?
I do.
Why don't you go ahead and I'll get turned over there.
So that's John 14, verse 5. It says, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?
Yes. And the question, how can we know the way? The way I interpret that now is, yeah, Lord, you said all this stuff. How do we get there?
Yeah.
Right?
What's the steps?
What is the, where's the map? You know, yeah. Is it the map of religion? Is it, and the other part of that is he's saying it in the sense that I want to be able to work my way there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, if you will just give us the information, then I can work it out and I can make it there.
Yeah.
And isn't that basically what everyone's trying to do?
Yeah.
We're trying to figure it all out. And we just want that information, not because we want to believe it or trust it. We just want to do it ourselves.
Yeah.
The way we want to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why Jesus just simply said to him, listen, Thomas, I am the way. And he qualifies that later by saying, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so I look at that and I think, you know, Thomas is right there. He's all of us, you know.
Absolutely.
And the truth of the matter is we can't work our way
into heaven. No. It's something we've been talking. We talked about this in a teen class just this past Sunday about the difference between Saul and Paul.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Because Saul would have been a very moral man.
Right, yeah.
He would have done so. Yeah. He would have, I mean, you know, there would have been a lot about Saul that I would want to be like.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean, he would have been a very...
Pharisee of the Pharisees.
Yeah. I mean, a very educated man, mm-hmm. a very moral man, someone right. who was very careful to keep, you know, filth and sin out of his life.
Exactly,
you know? Yeah. I mean, there would have been a lot of things about Saul that I'd want to be.
Yeah.
And then you read where he says in Philippians, he says, I count all that but loss, you know. Exactly. Pharisee of the Pharisees. I mean, he was the pedigree, right? I mean, he had it all. He said, all I count as loss.
Right.
Why? But why, though? Because at that point in his life, it was all about the works.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about what he was doing. Yeah. And then...
Following the map of religion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then he gets confronted with God. Mm-hmm. He's like, and God makes a very serious accusation to Saul.
Why?
Why are you persecuting
right.
me? And then he takes it even farther and he says, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that God had been bothering him for a while.
Yeah.
And Saul had been rebelling for a while and not listening.
Exactly.
And he's trying to pull him out of this. It's not your works. It's not about what you can accomplish with your knowledge and your moral uprightness and all the... That's not what it's about.
Yeah.
It's about me. It's about me. I am the way. Your works are not the way.
That's right.
His works would have sent him straight to hell.
Yeah.
God comes and says, I am the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you see that complete flip from where with Saul, it was all about Saul. Yeah.
Complete change.
And then when it became Paul, yeah. it was all about God.
Once he let go of the map of religion and embraced the person.
Exactly.
Of who Christ is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It all changed.
Yeah. That's awesome. So thinking through the message and what you learned this week, obviously with every message, there's always an application.
Absolutely.
So, you know, for you personally, as you listen to it, what's one thing that, you know, you felt could be applied this week from that message?
I always, whenever I get into, you know, my storm, right, in the middle of the chaos, something I try to remind myself is that it is going to end.
Yeah.
At some point it ends. Yep. You know, you get through the storm.
Right, right.
So I know it's going to end and I'm going to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to remind myself, how do you want to look back on how you handled the storm?
Mm-hmm.
I can't do anything about being in the storm. I'm there. I can't do anything about its duration. It right. is where it is. It's as long and wide as it is.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do anything about any of that.
Right.
But I can do something about how I react.
Yeah.
And how I handle
exactly
the storm.
Exactly.
It's horrible. It's uncomfortable. You know, it's troubling.
Right, yeah.
But I can't do anything about that. How do I want to look back on how I handled it? Mm-hmm. And I don't want to look back with regret or disappointment.
Exactly.
I want to be able to look back and see that I did the best I possibly could.
Right.
So I think something that is very common for us, you know, today, and that we've kind of normalized, mm-hmm. and it's very normal in the world. And I think it's an area where the world has kind of, we've allowed it to seep in. We've kind of normalized worrying about things.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
People are just worried about everything. Yeah. Yeah. People are worried about, you know, gas prices, right. How much egg there, you know. Yeah. Are we going to run out of toilet paper again? You know, like
taxes that we haven't even gotten yet. Taxes. We're going to have to pay for. Yeah,
I mean, you know, things happening in our government, and mm-hmm. like, I'm not saying that those things don't matter. I mean, of course, they matter. They're relevant,
right?
And there's things that, you know, we can do, right? I'm not saying that, but when our immediate reaction is just to worry about mm-hmm. it, nothing ever got better
right.
from me fretting over something.
Exactly. I mean, you can sit there and dwell on it all you want to, but most of the time it doesn't change anything.
Exactly. And I think that's it. It's kind of an undertone of what he's saying here. Because he is, you know, he's mourning. I mean, he's like, a lot of stuff's right. about to happen.
Oh, yeah.
And quite frankly, they didn't handle it well.
Yeah, I mean, he's preparing them for the chaos that's exactly. coming. Yep. Right? I mean, they're sitting there just trying to figure things out, you know. You look back at it, Judas has walked out.
Yeah.
He's talked about betrayal. They haven't even figured that one out yet. Mm-hmm. They're still trying, you know, that, yeah, it always tickles me every time, you know, Peter, hey, he's, you know, kind of bumping John. Why don't you ask him who is the one that prayed, right? Yeah. You know, I can almost see that happening. And they still, even after Judas walks out, they haven't discovered, you know, or figured that one out.
Right.
And, you know, Christ has told Peter he's going to betray him three times. Mm-hmm. You know, and I imagine Peter's just wrestling with that in his mind at that point. Oh, you know, how dare him tell me that I'm going to betray him three times?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, that's getting ready to happen.
Yeah.
The arrest is about to happen. You know, none of them stick around.
Exactly. I mean, they let the worry just consume, mm-hmm. yeah. even though he already told them yeah. everything that was going to happen.
And it still happened even after the resurrection, because they're yeah. all up in the upper room just worrying what's going to happen about the next thing.
Exactly. Well, and you almost have to wonder, was the faith shaken?
Mm. Yeah. Right. Right.
I mean, they followed him because they believed he was the Savior.
Yeah.
That he was God.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, you know, some people put him on a cross and it's like.
And you almost have to wonder, when did it start cracking?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know, did it start cracking in John chapter 14? Because yeah. obviously, him being God
yeah.
knew what they were thinking, yeah. what they were feeling, and already. One time he said, let not your heart be troubled. He's going to say it again. The promise of the comforter, yeah. right? All of these things he's giving to them. Why? Because he knows they're doing what?
Worrying. They're worrying. And yeah. they let it get worse. Mm-hmm. And that's what worrying does.
Yeah.
It doesn't keep you where you are. It sends you into a spiral.
Yeah, exactly.
When Jesus is saying, let not your heart be troubled. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I am who I say I am.
Right, right.
And I think it's important for us to identify areas in our life, mm-hmm. whether they're, you know, secular, whether it's, you know, paying the bills, right? Or if it is an area of faith, mm-hmm. that we identify the areas that we're worrying about, mm-hmm. that's consuming our thoughts, right? When we talk to people, we can't help but bring it up because it's all we're thinking about.
That's right.
It's just being yeah. concerned and worrying about
it. Trying to bring them into our worry.
Right, yeah. You should be just as worried about this as I am. You know,
look how bad it's going to be. You
know? And then, you know, I think it's so important for us to identify those things of worry, mm-hmm. and remember, let not your heart be troubled.
Yeah.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God.
Yeah.
Believe also in me.
Yeah. The promise of the mansion, the promise of coming
again.
I was gonna
say, because what's even the promise here? The promise is what's next.
He's not even stopped. You know, because we get into the rest of the chapter, the promise of the comforter, the affirmation that all three are at work.
Yeah.
Right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't mean to stop you.
But oh, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, like, and we're all prone to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if someone's sitting here listening,
right,
and they're like, well, not me. The disciples are sitting here talking to Jesus Christ. He has laid out everything that is going to happen, and still the end result is them being consumed.
Isn't that the most amazing thing? How many times they say, oh, that'll never be me. And yet the very men who are sitting at the very table with Christ, I mean, he's sitting right there.
Yeah.
He's talking to them just as we're talking right now, and they're already there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we laugh, but we do it.
Because, you know, there's humor in the truth, and we know it.
Yeah.
We know it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it is important to stop and purposefully think about it. It's like, what am I worrying about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is it? And then you have to pick it apart.
That's right.
Is it godly for me to be worrying about this thing?
Yeah.
You know, I'm concerned for lost souls, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's good for me to be concerned for that.
You know,
that's good. Okay.
Yeah.
Am I concerned that when I get there, I'm going to say the wrong thing and fail and mess up? Well, maybe what's more important is that someone's just going and saying something.
And I think what you're saying right now is important for everybody to understand. There is a great difference between worry and concern.
Exactly. Yeah.
Worry is when I let it dominate my life.
Yeah.
And when I can't think of anything else and all I do is wallow, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
in what ifs and what, you know, what could happen, what might happen, what may not happen.
Absolutely.
And I'm just totally consumed by it.
Yeah.
That's worry.
Yeah.
Concern is, okay, I know I need to do this, right? And my concern is that I might not have, like you said, the right words to say to someone in a moment. Mm-hmm. I'm not worrying about it, but I am, you know, thinking, okay, what word should I be speaking in that moment? Right.
Yeah.
So that's concern.
Yeah.
And it's good to be concerned about things.
Absolutely.
But it's absolutely wrong to be worrying about things.
Worrying about things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's important to just pick it apart. Is this a godly thing for me to, is it godly for me to be worried about this thing?
Right.
Is it godly the way I'm handling this thing? Is God pleased with my reaction?
Exactly.
To whatever this is.
Yeah.
And if you can't say yes, then you have to change how you're handling it.
Right. Yeah.
And maybe it's time to go back to let not your heart be troubled.
Yeah.
You believe in God, believe also in me.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's time to just lay that at his feet.
Right.
Let him handle that.
Yeah. That's good. I know, you know, one of the things I mentioned in the message as far as application is current is doing a waypoint check.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. I kind of used the illustration at the beginning of the message and throughout the message of being lost.
Right,
you know, sometimes you're driving somewhere, you don't have your GPS on or something, and you just end up completely out there somewhere. Well, you know, one of the first things they always tell people that are lost is start looking for waypoints, right? Start checking for places that are familiar to you, or and so that's what we need to do as Christians.
Yeah,
you know, if we find we're following the map of religion, or we're following the map of relationships or something, and it's leading us down the wrong road, and we know that it's leading us, then the best thing to do is just stop where you are, do a waypoint check.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
And stop, you know, following the map, return mm-hmm. to Christ.
Yeah.
As I was thinking about it, you know, basically four things to help you with that waypoint.
Yeah.
Check. Number one is just name the chaos honestly.
Yeah.
What is the storm in my life right now?
Right.
And it's different for everybody. You know, it's like you said, you may be in the calm right now, right? Everything may be just fine. Everything may be going well. But there is a storm around the corner.
It's coming.
You know, some point, some way, there's going to be one.
Yeah.
And we don't always know when it, you know, for some people, it could be finances. You know, some people, it could be relationships. You know, sometimes, you know, it's through incidents and accidents that happen in our lives.
Right.
You know, a car accident, or, and it can even, it may not even be a major car accident, just enough to wipe out your vehicle and have to go and, you know, get another one, or get that one repaired or something like that. You know, how many times have I been in that storm? more times I care to think about. But, you know, it could be the storm of losing a loved one. But the, whatever that storm is, you've got to be honest with yourself that you're in the middle of that chaos.
Right, yeah.
And you've got to acknowledge it.
And it is hard.
Yeah,
it is hard. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can be honest with yourself and say, this is tough.
Right, right.
And it's okay.
To admit it.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
not doing anything wrong. You haven't failed.
Mm-hmm.
It just is hard.
And, you know, some people, they might not really know how. Some people, they want, like, how do I identify this, right? How do I know that this is really a storm in my life?
Yeah.
Well, Christ said, let not your heart be troubled. So if something is troubling your heart,
right,
there's the chaos.
Right.
Right? And that's all you got to ask yourself. What is it that's troubling me right now? You know, I'll give a personal example of this, right? Here at our church, as a pastor, you know, as the lead pastor, often have to make very hard decisions sometimes. It impacts, you know, the course of our church,
yeah.
the life of our church.
Absolutely.
And lately I've got one that's been really weighing on me. You know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, you get to the point where you ask yourself, what's troubling me? Well, I can tell you right now, that's troubling me.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And this message is even for me, right? In the chaos, that's the chaos of my moment right now.
Exactly.
How do I make this decision, and how do I make it in a way that's honoring unto the Lord?
Yeah.
Now, the next point of that is to identify the map.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, in my particular case, I could go to the map of logic.
Right, yeah.
Right. This is the way it's got to be. These are the steps it has to be. And we do that a lot of times.
Yeah.
We just use pure logic to try to come out with a solution.
Yeah.
You know, I could use the map of voices.
Right.
Right. All the people telling me to go one way versus going another way.
Yeah.
You know, I could do the map of popular opinion.
Right.
Right. But those are not the right maps.
Yeah.
And that's the point of the message. The map is Jesus Christ, right? And so what I need to do is I need to be very specific, and all of us need to be very specific. What is the chaos? What is the map that I'm reaching for? Don't, you know, put that map down. Lay it to the side. Right? Get rid of it. Right? And take a step in his direction, right?
Yeah.
Go back to him.
Right.
And that's different for everybody. You know, some people say, well, how do I take a step back in his direction?
Yeah.
Well, you can take a step simple as just read John 14, 1 through 14, repeatedly through the week.
Yeah, pray it.
Pray it, yeah. I mean, meditate on it.
Yeah.
And just let it work into your heart, into your soul, and your mind.
Yeah.
You know, another way could be, as we said, just, you know, prayer. You know, not just praying that, but actually yeah. going to God and saying, look, God, help me lay down this map that I'm carrying and help me put my faith and trust in you.
Yeah.
Another way might be, and you kind of alluded to this earlier, when you were talking about sending the message to other people to listen to.
Right.
You may not be going through some chaos right now.
Yeah.
But there might be somebody else going through some chaos.
Yeah.
And so go to them.
Right.
Right. Say, hey, let me help you with the map that you're carrying. Put it down.
Right.
Help me show, you know, almost show you that Jesus Christ is the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And let's get focused on him, right? Yeah. And you're just helping someone else through that chaos.
Exactly. And sometimes that's how God works, right?
Right, exactly.
I mean, that's almost always how God works. He works through other people.
Yeah.
We're struggling with something. We don't know how to get out. And then, boom, someone just shows up.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's people being, you know, the hands of the Lord.
Right, exactly.
And that's
right.
exactly what he wanted to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think we want it to be you know, like soul. You know, we want a big light.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
To shine. We want the clouds to part. Yeah. We want to go blind
or
for an hour.
Or laying out the fleece and, you know, and, yeah. you know, all that stuff, yeah.
And we want all of that.
Right.
And sometimes it's just someone sent a text
yeah.
and said, hey, I know you need this.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is.
Exactly.
And that's just, and that's the Lord answering that prayer.
Yeah.
That's the Lord intervening.
Yeah.
That's Him helping you.
Yeah.
And that's what we're meant to be doing.
That's right.
That as the body of Christ.
Yeah.
We're meant to be aiding, supporting, and helping one another.
Which is what we're hoping this podcast will do too.
Exactly. Right.
If they haven't turned us off by now.
Yeah, you know.
Well, let's say here's another question about the message.
Yeah.
You know, with any message, any sermon, you know this as well as I do.
Oh, yeah,
there's always not enough time to get everything answered or that needs to be answered, right?
Absolutely.
And there's always questions that the sermon raises that never get fully answered. And so for you, what was one of those questions? What was something that I failed in my sermon to answer for you? No, I'm just kidding.
I don't think it was something where you failed at all. I think something that came to my mind was something that I've been burdened about anyway, and that we've been talking a lot with the teens. And it's been because my question I always go to, because whenever I hear, you know, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. Okay,
yeah.
So we're saying get rid of the map, get rid of this or that or whatever it is, get rid of this step-by-step guide. You know, we trust in God.
Right.
It's like, okay. I agree. I don't disagree. But I am commanded to be doing things,
mm-hmm.
right? There are things that I'm supposed to be doing.
Sure, yeah.
So my mind always goes to, where's the balance of that? Because I think sometimes we swing too far one way or the other.
Right. So the balance between just having faith and trust in Christ and letting Him work.
And not doing anything.
Versus I'm trusting Christ, but I'm going to do a bunch of stuff while I'm doing it, right?
Right. And I think for me, the thing that I've really been looking into a lot here lately is the working of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
It talks about the fruits of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think they come, the work that we're supposed to be doing and the trusting in God, I think for a long time I struggled because I saw them as separate,
mm-hmm.
but they're not separate.
Right.
They're the same thing.
Yeah.
Because the fruits of Andrew and Andrew's works mm-hmm. is not kindness, gentleness,
right,
love,
right,
temperance,
yeah.
peace.
Yeah.
That's not the fruits of Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fruits of the Spirit. And I think something that I kind of was wrong about for a long time was that, you know, if you don't love people enough, then you need to work on loving people more. If you weren't temperate enough, you need to work on being more temperate or whatever.
Right.
But if you read that verse very carefully, it doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. It says the fruit. The
fruit.
Singular.
Yeah.
One. The fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
It's all of those things.
Yes, exactly.
So where do these things become one and stop being two separate things? As you trust in God,
mm-hmm.
as you get closer to Him,
yeah.
as you build that relationship,
mm-hmm.
the works naturally flow.
Right.
Because it's not from you.
Yeah.
It's from the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
who is God. And I understand I'm getting a little confusing with that because when you get into the Trinity. So, so, you know, I know it gets a little weird with that, but they're all God. You know, the Holy Spirit,
right, exactly.
Jesus God, all God.
Yep.
You know, three distinctions of one God. Mm. So when you start building that relationship, but the Holy Spirit that resides in us starts producing that fruit of all of those things. And the works come naturally after the trusting in God, after the building that relationship, after seeking Him, after, you know, letting not my heart be troubled,
right,
and believing in Him.
Yeah.
The works flow after that.
Yeah.
And it's natural. And it's so much better than what I would have come up with
right.
to do if it was just the fruit of Andrew.
When you were sitting there talking about the first thing I thought of is what John the Baptist said, where he said, he must increase and I must decrease.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's the idea. I've got to come to the point where people are not seeing me. They're seeing the Holy Spirit, the fruit of this Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
And that involves work,
right?
Right? Because absolutely. The fruit that's named, we see as work, as action.
Yeah.
But it's not my action.
Exactly.
It's his action.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly where it is. And obviously, Scripture is full of just, you know, believe me, put faith in me, trust in me. But too many times, we're too quick to grab the map that we want. and we're not willing to just trust the person that already is there. And I think that's exactly right. I mean, I can't see it any better than that. Because obviously, if I can put my trust in him, and I can just, for lack of a better term, do nothing.
Right.
Right? Then he's the one working through me.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's great.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of things I thought of that didn't fully get answered. What do you do when you follow Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And the chaos just does not stop.
Yeah. Right.
So many people get caught up with, I've done all these things. I put my faith and trust in Christ. I'm coming to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm doing all things. That the chaos is just getting worse and worse around me.
Yeah.
Right? I'll propose that to you first.
Okay.
How would you answer that?
What do you do when you follow Jesus and the chaos still does not stop? Well, the answer, the short and simple answer is just keep doing it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, right.
That's the short, unsatisfactory answer. Yeah. That's completely correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Is keep doing it. I think something that is important to do is, one, do something that you already said about remembering the waypoints.
Right. Yeah.
Remember when God was good.
Exactly.
And he still is good.
Yeah.
But remember when it was just so clear and evident in your life, and it was unmistakable. Mm-hmm. This is God doing exactly what I needed.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
It couldn't be construed or interpreted as anything else.
Yeah.
I think it's important to remember those times. And I think that's a very practical thing to do. I think another really good thing to do for me personally is, and I think sometimes we neglect to do it, go back and remind yourself the promises of that God makes to us in his word.
Right.
He made a lot of promises to us.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And when you start to like see it, it's just like, wow. Yeah. And you know, it doesn't say, you know, you can't look up, you know, pinky promise and find all the promises of God in the Bible, okay?
Right.
Whenever he said anything that he would do, that's a promise.
He would do it.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. That's a promise.
Yeah.
It might not necessarily use the word promise or anything like that, but if he said something that he would do, then that is a promise. That is a guarantee. That is his stamp.
Right.
And he's never told a lie. He never will. That is a promise. You can count on that.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think it's important to actually know those things. Because how can you take comfort in the promises of God to you if you don't know the promises of God?
Exactly. I have said that so many times over the years that, you know, the problem that we have in believing God is because we don't even know what he said.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't get in the word of God and you don't study it for yourself and try to apply it to your own life, then, you know, that belief in him is going to waver.
Yeah.
It's not going to be strong.
Yeah. And I think a completely different angle of this is you need to stop trying to find peace in the chaos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just find peace in God.
Yeah. So this is where I would go with this, right? Yeah. Because the chaos is always there.
Yeah.
Even if there's calm in your life, there's still chaos in this world.
Yeah.
Right? I think one of the things I find with our congregation, our people, a lot of times, is they get very discouraged, not because necessarily something's happening in their life directly, But be just because of the general direction of the nation, you know, the increase in wickedness and sin and evilness. And I've had so many people come to me and just, you know, with utter despair almost.
Right, yeah.
You know, say, why? Why is all this going on? Why is this happening? Why doesn't it stop? Why can't we have peace? And in fact, in 2 weeks, we're going to deal with peace because Christ is going to say to the disciples, my peace I give unto you.
Yeah.
Not the world's peace. And the understanding of the world's peace is completely different than the understanding of God's peace. And the peace that he gives within us, not without us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On the outside of us.
Yeah.
We in this world are always going to have that chaos. That journey from the time we're born till the time we die, or the Lord returns, whichever one is first, is going to have storms. There's always going to be relationships, problems, issues. They're always going to be there. So you can't be looking for peace be still.
Right. Yeah.
You need to be looking for peace within.
Yeah.
And I think too many people are just waiting for him to calm the storm for there to be peace. Mm-hmm. And what he's saying in John chapter 14 is the storm can rage and you can still have peace.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And so I think, you know, for those people who have said, well, I follow Jesus and the chaos does not stop. Well, first of all, you have to understand the chaos is not going to really stop.
Right. Yeah.
And if that's what you're looking for the wrong thing. What you need to be looking for is that inner peace that Christ gives you as you follow him, as you believe him, and as you trust in him.
Yeah. And as we follow him as a soldier.
Right, right, right.
Because that's what we're called to be.
Yeah.
We're not called to a life of peace.
No, exactly. You're in the middle of a spiritual warfare. Yeah. Right, yeah.
That we're called to be a part of.
Exactly.
And to be, you know, active in. Mm-hmm. We are pilgrims here.
Right.
This is not home.
No, no.
This is a temporary blip.
Yeah. We're literally, I don't know if I said it in this message or the message last week, but we're literally between the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ.
Yeah.
And his return.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And all the chaos in
between. Exactly, yeah. There's plenty of them. There's more coming. Right.
Well, here's one last one on this, because I had two of them that I wrote down.
Yeah.
What do you do if you've tried Jesus and it didn't work?
And it didn't work.
Yeah.
You did something wrong. You did something wrong.
Well, the question I think for that person then is what were you really trusting in?
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because so many people equate the map of religion as belief and trust in God. Right. And it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
You can go to church. You can pray. You can do all the right things and still feel like that you haven't connected with Christ.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know how to do this or say this, but in a very simplistic way, it comes down to a person.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it comes down to your own relationship with him. I always go back to Hebrews, and I think it's Hebrews 11:6, where he says that without faith, it is impossible to please him, and that you have to believe that he is.
Yeah.
And then here's the part we always skip. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him.
Right. Yeah.
Right? And there are a lot of people, they make the claim, oh, I believe God. I've tried him and it didn't work. Right. And it did. Mm-hmm. Did you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you really pursue him?
Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound like it.
Well, you know, and I don't want to, you know, just throw people under the bus, so to speak.
Right.
But at the same time, the challenge has to be there. What were you really going after?
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much exactly what we're going to be talking about Sunday with the teens. Mm-hmm. As we've been talking about that Saul and Paul, and I was like, okay, well, how can I go further with that? And we're talking about Ananias and Sapphira Sunday.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And how they, because you think about it, what they did was good, right? Mm-hmm. They sold a possession and they donated money.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay. But then you go further and you realize that they deceitfully gave.
Their heart was in a different place.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They committed to everything. They gave a portion and kept some for themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe why that maybe strikes us bad initially, right? Because they're both killed.
Yeah.
Both, that's the punishment for it was death.
Yeah.
For that, even though the action was good.
Yeah.
I think we have to be careful because I think culture has seeped in where we think a little bit too much. It's not what you say, it's what you do. Mm-hmm. That's wrong because that doesn't incorporate motive.
Yeah.
The Bible incorporates motive. When it says not about what you say or what you do, it's about the fruit that you produce.
Exactly.
What's the fruit that they produced? Mm-hmm. Self-elevation.
Yeah.
To look very spiritual and so sacrificial,
yeah.
But it was a lie.
Yeah,
it wasn't genuine. It wasn't real. So I would argue, to an extent, if you are seeking God, so you can just have peace and be comfortable and stuff, just isn't as hard for you in life.
Yeah. You're chasing the wrong dream.
You're not seeking Him for the right reason, mm-hmm. and you think they were doing a good thing and were punished with it by death.
Right.
The motive behind it and the fruit that's produced matters to God more than the action, more than the action. So if you're seeking God just to have a comfortable life, he will reject that.
Yeah, exactly. It's not going to work.
That. Yeah. When we seek Christ, it has to be because we want Him.
Yeah.
That is the only acceptable motive.
I think... And I'm going to tie this now into Sunday's message.
Yeah.
Okay. Because if you go back and you look at the passage here, you know, he finishes in verse 14 with, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, that verse gets pulled out of context so many times. Yeah,
absolutely.
Right? But the very next verse ties into what we were just talking about. "If ye love me."
Yeah. Uh-huh.
"Keep my commandments."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the message coming up this Sunday is now the map of obedience.
Right.
Right. You know the compass. You know the map. It's Jesus Christ. He's the person. He's the one.
Yeah.
"I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now he's saying to all of us, if you truly believe in me and you truly accept me as the compass, as the map, then prove it.
Yeah.
How do you prove it? By loving Him. Right. But not with words.
Yeah.
With actions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
"Keep my commandments." And so that really is the you know, the point that's coming up. And I think it's very important for us to realize too many people, we want to separate love from obedience.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And you cannot. Not with Scripture.
We want obedience to be a map.
Right.
The steps.
Exactly. You know, I did this, I did that, I did that. Well, that's just going through a ritual.
Exactly.
That's just being religious.
Yes.
And the minute you take Christ out of it and your actual love for Him, which, by the way, your love dictates then that you obey Him. Hmm. And I think this is another thing, too, that we have to be very careful of. I often determine my obedience by what I want to obey. Right?
What suits me.
Love thy neighbor with all that, you know, love thy neighbor even as thy love thy as you love thyself, right? Oh yeah, that's great. That's wonderful. I can do that. Mm-hmm. Forgive one another even as Christ has forgiven me. Oh, wait a minute now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't forgive that person.
Becomes conditional.
Right. And is that true love?
No.
Because true love is unconditional.
Yeah.
Christ proved that Himself on the cross.
That's right.
And so unconditional love says, well, I love Him, and now I'm going to obey every single thing He has told me to do. Yeah. Why? Because I have come to the point in my life where I realize He is the map. He is the compass.
Yeah.
And now my obedience is to the person,
yeah,
not to the process.
Yeah.
you see. Now, there's a lot more to the message than that.
So, right. Yeah.
You're going to have to tune in. You got to come on Sunday and get that one, right?
You don't get to skip Sunday just because of that.
Well, I kind of do want to wrap this up, though. Yeah. And before this episode ends, want to give everybody something to do this week.
Yeah.
All right. For me, as I thought about this, we talked about the waypoint check, and I think that's the most simple thing a person could do. You know, just do a waypoint check. And what I mean by that, sometime this week, today, if they can, right, it would be a great time. You know, they just need to stop and ask themselves that one honest question. And that is, what have I actually been following? Have I been following Jesus or some map of my own making? Right? And what I would encourage probably people to do is take and write it down if you need to. What is the map you've been following? Right? Just put it on paper. It's the map of whatever. And name that chaos that you're carrying.
Yeah.
And then when you lay the map down, right? You've written it down, you put it down, take the chaos directly to Him then, right? In your heart, in your mind, and say to Him just what He said to you.
Right.
You know, He said, I am the way. You need to say, you are the way. I'm following you, right?
Yeah.
And remember that, this is not about a system. It's not even about being disciplined in your life.
Right, yeah.
Right? And we're not even talking about a five-step program here. It's just being real with Him who is a real person who's the God of heaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the one thing you can do this week is bring it to Him. And so I would encourage anybody that's listening, do that one thing this week. Do the waypoint check. Yeah. Start there. It's a very simple place. And we can continue. Of course, the series continues, the Homebound series, John 14. We're going to be in a message this Sunday centered around obedience, but it's more than just obedience. Once you know that Christ is the way, you must obey His commands. And when you do, He blesses you with so many wonderful blessings that you can take with you on your journey. I think you alluded to it earlier, the promises that He gives.
Yeah.
And this passage, John 14, is just filled with promises.
Right, yeah.
I mean, one after another.
Yeah.
And what He's saying is, when you take Him, when you follow Him and you're on that journey through the chaos, here is all the other things that come with it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like going on a hike,
mm-hmm.
right? And you got your backpack and you got your water and you got all your protein bars and, all the things that you need to go on that hike. Yeah. Christ is saying, listen, you don't have to worry about all that. I've got it covered.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to supply it.
Yeah.
And so the map of obedience is the title of Sunday's message. And one last thing, I'll probably let you just talk about this. Small groups. Started this week,
yeah.
Here at our church,
yeah.
You want to tell people a little bit about small groups, just real quick?
Absolutely. Yeah, we meet on Sundays at 4. Our group, we're kind of the family group. We have all the kids, right? So it stays pretty chaotic.
You're the fun group.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We have a great time.
The exciting group.
it's fun, man. We opened up with the Bible emoji game. I like. To have fun.
Yep.
That's just who I am as a person. I like to have a good time. And we do have a good time. Yep. I think we've been able to build really strong connections. And I think it's also a really good opportunity to know where people are a little bit more.
Yeah.
And see opportunities to help.
Right.
I mean, I can tell you right now, I've had the opportunity to help people in my small group, but I've been helped by the people in our group. They've stepped in. They've met needs. Mm-hmm. And it's a great time. We do in small group, not exactly what we're doing here, but we talk about Sunday's message.
Right, right.
We get a little, just a guide.
We get in a little bit more in the weeds here. Than
right,
we do in small
yeah.
groups, right?
yeah. This is just the two of us. We can kind of talk about whatever. But when it's the whole group, right? you it ends up being very personal for mm-hmm. people, right? And we talk about kind of where we are in life and how the message affects where we are in
yeah.
life.
Yeah.
At least that's what happens a lot in our kind of, in the small group, that's the families.
Yep.
Because we're all kind of in that similar stage,
right?
And that is kind of how it's set up. I believe y'all's is harvest years.
Yeah, well, we combine two of them. So
okay.
We combined harvest years, which was mainly empty nesters.
Yeah.
And then we combined it with my group, which was Starting Point,
right.
Which is really the group where if you've never been in a small group before and you just kind of want to get your feet wet and you want to experience what it's like,
yeah.
That's really kind of my group. But because of some circumstances this past session,
yeah.
We ended up merging the two because we were meeting on the same night and all that kind of stuff. Just made it easier. So we're kind of confused right now as to which name we have. But I'm going with Starting Group because it's my name. John Bennett, I'll just have to forgive me because I took his,
sorry,
his group.
Sorry, John.
And, but yeah, so, you know, we're meeting on Thursdays.
Yeah.
And we actually meet right here at the church and at 6:30.
Yeah.
And we have a great time. It's well, it's not as exciting as your group because we're a bunch of older folks that just sit around and talk.
I'm telling you, look, put me in charge of it. We'll have a ball.
But I think what most people need to know about all the small groups is that yeah. these are not programs. These are not classes.
No.
Right?
No.
You know. In fact, if kind of going along what we've been talking about with the message, really small groups is just a group of real people,
yeah.
right? Doing exactly what we talked about today, laying the maps down, right? Doing the waypoint checks together,
yeah,
and helping each other find the way home.
Yeah,
I think that's really what we're trying to do. And you know, again, this goes to you guys. If you don't have a small group, man, we'd love to have you. You
can Absolutely.
Andrew's group, my group. And if you want to know more about that, you can just go to our website, calvarybaptistbedford.org. And right on the front page, your homepage, you'll find the group page, small group page, so you can go there.
Yeah.
And we'll also put a link in the podcast notes if I figure out how to do that, because we've never done post-production before, so this is going to be new for us, right? You know,
getting
so
advanced,
yeah, know? I mean, pre-production, post, I never even knew those words until we started the podcast. So now I got it.
I still don't know because he does that.
it's all going to be a venture. If you even find this on YouTube, you'll probably be doing well. So
pretty good then, you know, if you find it at all.
Well, how about we end in a word of prayer and, you know, just pray that every person that's heard this message, they would have the courage to stop reaching for the map, put the map down. And just start following Christ,
yep.
right? So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this wonderful conversation that we've been able to have. Anytime we can sit and talk about you and your word, that's what it really should be about. Conversation should always be centered around you. And Lord, I'm really looking forward to having this podcast each week and doing just what we just did just now. I hope it's going to be an encouragement to everyone, and I pray especially this week, as we've talked about this this journey that we're on, the fact that you said to us that we are not to have our hearts troubled, we're to believe in you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And so, Lord, I pray that all of us, that we would not reach for the maps that we create or that man has created, that we would put them aside. And that, Lord, we would just focus on you as the person that you are, how much you love us, how much you care for us. And, Lord, just trust you. And again, as we get into this week's message, we're going to be talking about how that love looks. And that love looks by our obedience to you. And so I pray, God, that this has been encouragement to folks. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we had to make this podcast today. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thanks, guys. And we'll see you after Sunday.